Morning. Glad you guys are here. I love that new song. You know, Paul writes, he says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day Jesus comes back." We have a God who's faithful. I'm getting all emotional. I needed that. Man, I'm so glad you guys are here. Before we get into what we're going to talk about, though, this morning, I got to share a couple cool stories. Can I share a couple cool stories? Okay, for the three of you, I'm going to share these cool stories. Thank you. Some of you know Hub Groups started this week, and if you're not familiar with what Hub Groups are our version of small groups, and some of them are going to be kicking off this coming week. My group started this past week. I'm really excited to have it back, but on Friday, I got a call from your husband, Jason Holden, who called me, and some of you know Jason. You've known Jason for a while. Jason got a new job, and he's unable to come on Sundays because he's working weekends now, and he told me that Hub Group is really the most important thing for him during the week because he doesn't get to come on Sunday and worship with his family. But he wanted to ask if he was doing something and if it was okay. He's like, "You know, I work with 140 other guys at Dish on the weekends and they can't go to church anywhere. Can I use my Hub Group like to invite them and ask them to be a part of that?" And I'm like, "Well, no, absolutely not." I'm like, "Dude, that's exactly what I want to happen with Hub Groups. Like, I want you to invite people who aren't a part of our church to be a part of your small group." And he already had one guy from his work come, and I said, "Man, I'm praying for you." And I just wanted to celebrate that story because Jason is using his Hub Group to be a missionary. And if you call yourself a Christian, and especially if you're a part of the Hub City Church family, you are a missionary. You have been commissioned. And you are on mission to join God in what he's doing here in Spartanburg. And that part of that, an easy part of that, is invite somebody over to your house or whoever's hosting your group and invite them to be a part of that. I would love for more people to be in our Hub Groups than come on Sunday mornings. And so I just thought that was a cool story. Another cool story I'll share with you. I have a very little voice this morning because I yelled very loudly at the football game last night with Clemson and Auburn, right? And, you know, Clemson won, but Liz had to make me chamomile tea halfway through the game because I'm like losing my voice. So I just apologize. But that has nothing to do with the second story. We had a wedding in here yesterday. A couple who, they're not a part of our church. They actually go to another church in the area, but they asked, I think, 6 or 7 different churches if they could use their facility for their wedding, and every church told them no. Every church. And then they asked us, and we're like, "Absolutely. You know, that's what this facility's here for. We want you to other people to use it." And so they had their wedding here. It was really cool. But they told me thank you for letting them use our facility like 8,000 times. Not lying. I mean, it's like, "Thank you so much. Thank you so much." And then they told me this cool story. They said, "We were at the store the other day getting some stuff for our wedding, and we told the cashier, whoever they're working with, about us opening up our facility for them to use for their wedding. And the person they were talking to said, 'You know what, I wouldn't mind being a part of a church that had that kind of attitude about their facility. It is for the community. I might be interested in checking that church out.' So if that's you this morning, I apologize for calling you out. If you visited. But I just thought that was a really cool story. Because remember, God's given us this facility not for us, but for his kingdom purposes. And we want to see it used for his kingdom purposes. So let's jump into what we're going to talk about today. We're in this series that we're calling Reset, talking about how we can push the reset button on certain areas of our life. And to kind of get us thinking in that direction, I life is full of big questions, right? What are you going to eat for lunch? Some of you are sitting there thinking that already. I know. Where am I going to go to college, you know? Can I sell my soul to the devil and go to Carolina? I mean, there's all kinds of big questions in life, but really some of the biggest questions of that we have to answer in life are like, who is God, right? That may be the biggest question of all, right? Who is God? Your answer to that question really is going to influence every other part of your life. Like how you answer the question, who is God, is really the most important answer you could give to a question. We all need to come up with an answer to that question. But there's another question that's almost just as important. And that's the question I want us to dive into and kind of answer a little bit today. And that's the question, who am I? Who am I? A couple weeks ago when we started this series, I said that really that's a question of identity. Right? Who am I? And I would argue that this question, The question of identity, who I am and what we think about ourselves, what we think about who we are, impacts every single area of our life. Have you thought about that? Like, what you think about yourself impacts your self-image, it impacts your health, it impacts your spirituality, it impacts your ethics, it impacts your roles, it impacts how you see yourself functioning in our culture, it impacts your relationships, it impacts your career, it impacts how you view the past, it impacts how you view the present, it even impacts how you're gonna view the future. Our thoughts about ourselves are so important because they impact every part of our life. And last week, we kind of started talking about pushing the reset button on our thinking by saying that really how we think or what we think or the way we think is the filter through which we see the world. The way we think is really the filter through which we see and interpret the world. I want to take that one step further today and say that the way we think is the filter through which we see and interpret ourselves. How you think about yourself and your identity, how you answer the question, who am I, is the filter through which you're gonna see and interpret yourself, and it's gonna influence really everything about you. So last week, like I said, we talked about kind of thinking in general, looking at Romans 12:2. I encourage you to go back and listen to that online if you missed last week. But today, I wanna take it one step further and talk about ourselves, because if you think about it, the thoughts that we have about ourselves, they're all over the place, right? A lot of times. I mean, just think about what influences what you think about yourself. You've got your hormones. You've got somebody else's hormones, right? You've got how your family life is going at any certain time on any certain day. You know, you can think great about yourself one, you know, for, and then your kids wake up. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's also the your family life of your childhood can impact what you think about yourself. You've got all these voices from all over the place speaking into you about you, trying to tell you who you are. You have the voices of your parents, the voices of past teachers or current teachers. You have that kid in eighth grade that said that one thing to you and you can't ever get that out of your mind. I mean, you've got all of the thousands of advertisements that you're bombarded with every single day. You've got your boss who's talking to you about who you are. You've got me who's talking to you about who you are. Some of you are listening to God's voice, trying to get him to tell you who you are. There are all these countless voices influencing your thoughts about you. So the question is, who are you? Or who am I? Now let's just be honest right up here, right up front. Many of us, if not most of us, if not all of us in this room, have some false or faulty identities, some false or some faulty views about ourselves and who we are. Some of us have an identity that's shaped by something that it shouldn't be shaped with. For instance, some of us have identities that are shaped by some sin that we committed sometime in the past. Like who am I? You're defined by some past sin. Some of you have an identity that's defined by a current habitual sin that you're enslaved to. Some of our identities are defined by our dysfunctions, like perfectionism or the need to be in control. None of you are control freaks, I know that. But some of us have identities that are defined by our job, like what we do for a living. Some of our identities are defined by our failures. Some of our identities are defined by our marital status or lack thereof. Some of our identities are defined by how much money we either have or don't have in our bank account, right? Some of our identities are defined by our addictions, known or unknown. I mean, we have all of these things that give us these false or faulty identities. So as you kind of think through this morning, who am I? I want you to make sure you call out some of those things that might be false or faulty. But the question is, how do you know what's false and faulty compared to what's true about us? Well, for those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus, like if you're here this morning, you say, I'm a Christian. Well, there's a very clear answer in Scripture to the question, who am I? And it's really two words, and I want you to write these down, okay? Actually, if you got a bulletin, on the back of your bulletin, there's a place to take notes. You're gonna need to write some stuff down today, okay? I want you to walk out of here with some things, but I want you to write these words down to start off with. Who am I? I am in Christ. I'm in Christ. It's the first thing I want you to write down. Who am I? I am in Christ. There's a British theologian by the name of John Stott who says that this phrase, in Christ, is mentioned 164 times in Paul's letters. Like it was a very, very, Paul, the guy who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, it was a very, very important phrase for him. And he defines it like this. He says, in Christ means that we are organically united to Christ as a limb is to the body or a branch is in the tree. Like all of our life, everything we are flows out of Christ. We are not the tree, nor are we the body. We're just a limb that's attached to the body or the tree. That's what we are. And apart from being attached to this, we really are nothing. But it's in Christ, that attachment, that's so, so important. And so for those of us who call ourselves Christians, this phrase, in Christ, this should be the answer, the umbrella answer to who we are. We are in Christ. Now I need to say something to those of you who are here this morning who might not be a Christian. And if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. First, thank you so much for being here. Man, we're honored that you're here, that you would actually, as a non-Christian, show up in a church on a Sunday morning. It's pretty awesome. We just are so thankful that you're here. But I just wanna, if you're not a Christian, I just wanna let you off the hook this morning, okay? I just wanna let you off the hook. You can just sit back, because what we're gonna talk about is really pretty much irrelevant to you because what we're gonna talk about this morning isn't true of you yet. Now, I say yet intentionally because it could be true of you. It could be true of you. I hope that one day it is true of you, because I'll just let you know my agenda right up front. If you're not a Christian, I want you to become a follower of Jesus. I think the best decision you could ever make is the decision to follow Jesus with your life. And so I hope that's true of you sometime, but right now it's not true of you, but that doesn't mean that I want you to check out, okay? That actually, what I wanna encourage you to do this morning, if you're not a Christian, is to lean in a little bit. To lean in and to listen. And to see who we as Christians are in Christ. And to pay attention to that. To pay careful attention. And learn what God says in his word about who we are in Christ. Because, you know, maybe it might make you wanna become a Christian. Actually, I'll warn you ahead of time, it probably is gonna make you wanna become a Christian. So you just need to keep that in mind as we go through the rest of our talk. So let's talk to those of us who are Christians. Who are we in Christ? This morning we're gonna look at three passages of scriptures that really list out who we are in Christ. And my hope is that as we read these passages, that as we read who we are, that all of our false and faulty identities will come to light, and we'll throw them to the side, and we'll cling to who we are in Christ, to these true identities that we read about in God's word, and that what we think about ourselves is gonna start to change. And my goal for you is that you're gonna walk out of here this morning with a list of things, this is why you need to write some stuff down, with a list of things, a list of answers to the question who you are in Christ. So let's jump into the first passage. The first passage is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We're going to put these verses up on the screen. But the first thing I want you to write, let's read it first. It says this, Paul's writing. And he says, therefore, if anyone is, what? What's the phrase? I think we got the, in Christ. I think we got the scripture. Do we have that? We're looking for it. Okay. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, and the old has gone. The new is here. So what Paul says here is that in Christ, we are a new creation. We are new. We're new. That means the old is gone. Whatever was in your past is in your past. You are a new creation, which is really cool because some of us have these identities that are defined by our past, right? What happened to us some time ago. But in Christ, you are new. The old has gone. The new has come. That's just incredible. I think a lot of us live lives that are defined by our past, but your past should never define you. It should shape you, but not define you. Why? Because in Christ, you are new. You're new. Let's look at another passage. This is out of Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read the first, well, I'm going to just stop in between, but we're gonna look at 14 verses out of Ephesians 1 because it's like a bullet list of who we are in Christ, according to Paul. But he starts off and he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. That's the way Paul lets you know that he's writing the letter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was very clear. He knew who he was. Paul had no doubt about who he was in Christ. And not only did Paul know who he was in Christ, he knew who others were in Christ. And the first thing I want you to write down out of this passage is who we are. Not only are we in Christ, but we are Christians. We are Christians. And if you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about what that means. Christians means little Christs. That's what it's supposed to mean. It means that we're people who are supposed to look like Jesus. Who are you? You are a Christian. This right here should be the foundation of everything else that you think about yourself. The first thing you should think about yourself is that I am a follower of Jesus. I am a Christian. We've got to start here. Everything else flows out of this. Let's read on. Verse 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Here's the next thing I want you to write down. Who are we? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? You hear that word, it's kind of a churchy word, right? Blessed just means that God has done something for you that you could not do for yourself. That's what it means to be blessed, you know? So when somebody says, I'm blessed, you're like, well, how? Come on, tell me. How has God done something for you that you haven't done for yourself? We have a lot of reasons, a lot of answers to that question, right? He's rescued us, he's saved us, he's redeemed us. You are blessed. Read on verse 4. I love this. There's a bunch in verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. First thing, we're chosen. Chosen. You know what it means to be chosen? It means in the great cosmic gym class, when they were picking teams, God picked you. That's what it means. He picked you. He chose you. That's pretty awesome. Because if you're like me, I know you wouldn't think of this looking at me, but I was rarely picked in the top 10 picks out of 9. You know what I mean? I mean, except by God. And God says, I pick you. You're chosen. Not only are you chosen, but you're holy. You're holy. I think that we have a kind of a faulty definition a lot of times of what it means to be holy, because we think we got to do all this stuff to be holy, but you're not holy because of anything that you've done. You know what makes you holy? What Jesus has done for you. And what holy means, the primary definition of holiness is other. It's to be other, to be separate, to be set apart, to be different. So when God says you are holy in Christ, you are holy, guess what? In Christ, you are other. In Christ, you are different. In Christ, you are set apart. You're not supposed to be like the culture that you're in. You're supposed to be different from that culture. Who am I? I am holy. Not because of what I've done, because look, Jesus has done. And the other thing in here, I'm blameless. I am not a teacher, and so my writing is pretty sloppy, but I just wanted to do that for you. I'm blameless. You know what it means to be blameless? That means when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin anymore. Now you see your sin. If I were to ask everyone in here to confess the last sin that they committed, we could all confess something pretty quickly. Like we remember our sin, but when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. Why? Because he sees us through the filter of Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross and forgave us of our sins, so we are blameless in his sight. That's pretty good right there. Some of you that are struggling with your past, you are blameless. Who am I? I am blameless. Let's read on. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Here's the next one. We're adopted. We're adopted. My marker's fading. We're adopted. That is that we are heirs. We have been adopted into the family of God. And there's a faulty kind of theology out there today that says everybody on the planet is a child of God. That is not true. Everybody on our planet is a creation of God, but only those who are in Christ are children of God. Those of us who are in Christ, we have been adopted into the family of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty awesome that I'm a part of something that's bigger than just my little bitty family. I have been adopted into the family of God. Read on, verse 6. This is to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. We're graced. It's another thing I want you to write down. Some of you aren't writing stuff down. You're going to forget this. You're going to regret it if you don't write it down. I promise. You want to remember this. We're graced. What does it mean to be graced? It means that God has extended his favor to us. Don't you love it when somebody gives you favor? Like if the cop pulls you over and you deserve a ticket because you were speeding, you know, you're going over, and he says, I'm not going to give you a ticket. You know what that is? That is an amazing gift, right? You know, God has given us what we don't deserve. He has extended his favor to us. We are graced. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. According to this verse, you know what else we are? We're redeemed. We're redeemed. Do you know what it means to be redeemed? It means that we've been bought back. Like God went to the slave auction, and we were all on the block. We were all up there standing, being ready to be auctioned off because we're slaves to sin. And Jesus says, I'll take him, I'll buy him back. We're redeemed. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? But not only are we redeemed, we're forgiven. I'll write it up here. We're forgiven. It means all of the sins we've committed, all the debts that we owe God, they've been canceled because of what Jesus did on the cross. We're forgiven. We don't owe him anymore. Let's read on. It says this, with all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, and which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. This one's a little weird to think about, but you know who we are in Christ? We're in the know. We're in the know. That is, that there was a mystery. There was something that certain people did not know. But for those of us who call ourselves Christians, who are in Christ, we are now in the know. He's let us in on this secret. Don't you just hate it when somebody you know has a secret and they're not telling you? It just drives you crazy. Well, God lets you in on the secret. You are in the know. Let's read on verse 11. It says, in him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. There it is again. He's got this one. He says this one twice. It's important to him. We're chosen. Look at verse 13. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Who am I in Christ? I'm included. Think about that for a minute. God has, you were on the outside, but he brought you on the inside. Like you were left out, but you no longer are left out. Why? Because in Christ, we are included. I love that. And then the last part, it says this, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. Not a seal like an animal seal, but a seal like a stamp that makes it so that nobody can change anything. Marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Who are we? Who am I in Christ? I'm sealed. That means my marker's run away. But what that means is that you nothing's gonna rip you away from God. Like if you're in Christ, there's not anything that's gonna pull you away from that. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Now take a look at this list. That's some pretty good stuff, right? I mean, those are incredible answers to the question, who am I? But I wanna look at one more passage. This is out of 1 Peter. We looked at what Paul said. I wanna look at what Peter said. And here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna read the passage. And then I just want you to tell me who we are in Christ. I want you to play along, okay? Say stuff out loud. Can you do that? Yeah? So pay close attention. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 9. It says, but you are a what? Chosen people. You are a what? Royal priesthood. You are a what? Holy nation. You are what? God's special possession. You're what? or that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were what? Not a people, but now you're what? You are the people of God. And once you had not what? But now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as what? Foreigners and exiles, strangers and aliens, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Now think about what he lists out here. We're going to put these up on the screen. We are a chosen people. Chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. I love that right there because a lot of times we think we have to go through somebody to get to God, but because of what Jesus did, you don't have to go through a priest to get to God anymore. You can go to God directly yourself. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. That means we're a set apart nation. We're a different nation. As followers of Jesus, we're part of a different kingdom with a different king. We're a holy nation. We are God's special possession. I don't know what your special possessions are, but let me tell you something. You are God's special possession. We're the people of God. We're mercied. I love that. I love that word, mercied. And that is, we're not getting what we deserve. We don't deserve all these things that we are in Christ, do we? I mean, we don't. Why? Because we're sinners. But we're mercied. We're not getting what we deserve. And then we are foreigners and exiles on this earth. You realize this isn't your home. Just want to make sure you know that, right? This is not your home. We actually have some people who've been displaced because of the storm in Irma with us this morning. And so I'm so glad you guys are here. Thanks for spending a little bit of time with us this morning. But we're foreigners and exiles further than that. Like our home is not here. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. We are foreigners and exiles on this earth. Now, I just want you to think about the list that you have, or the list that I've written out up here, those things that are on the screen back there that Peter says that we are. This list should define who you are in Christ. This list should define what you think about yourself when you think about yourself. I've just given you a whole bunch of truths about who you are in Christ. And hopefully my desire is that those truths will replace all of those false and faulty identities that you have. Because the truth is, if we call ourselves Christians, we've got to let what God says in his word determine what we think about ourselves. We have to let God's word be the filter through which we think about ourselves. And every other voice is secondary compared to who God says we are in Christ. So who are you? You are in Christ. And this is my homework for you this week. If you're new, I like to give a little bit of homework every week. And the homework this week is to do some studying. And I don't know what your studying was like, but let me tell you what my studying was like when I didn't have to study in high school. Well, I just didn't study in high school very much, which is a bad example for my children who are now in high school. But I did have to study in grad school. And the way I studied in grad school is I would take good notes, like I hope you were doing this morning, writing some stuff down. And then I would go back over and I would just reread my notes over and over again until I had them memorized. And my brain works in such a way that I could tell you my points and where they were and how they followed in line. But the reason why it worked that way is because I reviewed it over and over and over again. And your homework this week is to do some studying on this. That every day this week, probably multiple times a day, that you would go back over this list and you would remind yourself who you are in Christ. Because if you want to push the reset button on your thinking, this is where it starts. It's not going to start with what you can come up with on your own. It's going to start with replacing those false and faulty identities with the truth of who you are in Christ. Now, some of you didn't write some stuff down. So I want to encourage you to pull out your phone when we're done and come up and take a picture of this, because that's how some of you are. I know some of you take notes by taking pictures of the screen, you know. They're going to be online as well. Trey's going to put them on online, so you can go to our website and do that, because I want you to meditate on this list. Because I want us to be a church family who, when somebody asks us who we are, we got a long list. I'm new. I'm a Christian. I'm blessed. I'm chosen. I'm holy. I'm different. I'm other. I'm blameless. I'm adopted. I'm graced. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. I'm in the know. I'm included. I am sealed. That's who I am. Talk about changing our thing. Talk about hitting the reset button. Just imagine in your life if you started to let these thoughts define how you go through life. Just imagine the impact that might have just in your own emotions and your own intellect and just your day and your week. Imagine how it might start to bleed out to your family and to the people that you work with. This is so important. This is who you are in Christ. Let's pray. God, I love that we don't have to come up with who we are. I mean, really, we do that a lot of times, and that's where we get these false and faulty identities. We're just, I don't know, we're so easily distracted by what somebody says to us. We're so easily kind of steered off track because of some voice from our past or some sin from our past. And we just want to confess that we have had some false and faulty identities. We confess that as a sin this morning, God. I confess that as my sin, as the sin of people in our church. And I just say we want to replace those false and faulty identities with truth. And I thank you that not because of anything that we've done, but because of what you've done for us, we are now in Christ. And we have a new identity. The old has gone and the new has come. My prayer is that you would give us the courage and the discipline to meditate on that, to study that this week, and that you would start to change our thinking about ourselves. And that as our thinking about ourselves starts to change, that it would just kind of overflow out of us. And that the people that are around us would notice. And that you would use that to draw them to you. Because this is how you created us to be. This is what you want for the entire world's population. To have this identity. And I just thank you for who we are. You are a good God and a gracious God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.